We got a pretty full house tonight, huh? It's pretty cool. How do you guys like this hoodie I was wearing? Is that pretty nice? I think you can get those over at the skate park if anybody's looking for a hoodie. Also a green one over there for $20, so, you know, anybody interested. I know a guy who will sell them to you for pretty cheap. So it's good to be with you guys today. Guys, we're going to be talking about being a disciple. You see, well, that's kind of seems normal. We talk about being a disciple quite a bit. We're talking about the disciples on Wednesday night. We're going through the 12 disciples, and we're kind of learning about some of their flaws. It would seem to be that the disciples weren't quite cut out to be what we would think a disciple that brought the name of Jesus to people. Well, guys, I think Jesus keeps it really simple for us. He doesn't bog us down with all these details and we have to do this, we have to be this, and we have to look like this. But he keeps it really simple. And I think as we look at John chapter 13, you guys have all heard the story. What in the world? Wow. That was crazy. Hannah! Well, I just lost all train of thought. Whose idea was that? Reuben. The one maybe over there with the camera. Courtney in the back with the camera. Strange. I was like, is that rat you guys were talking about earlier? Getting out of the cage? I was kind of getting scared. Oh, goodness. Where was I? Do you guys remember where I was? You guys were too focused on the black box. You guys don't have a clue what I said. All right. Okay. Disciples. Thank you, Courtney, with a C. Disciples. They weren't quite the ones that you would think were called to be disciples. Like I said before, guys, Jesus keeps it really simple. He's at the end of his ministry. He's getting to the point where he's getting ready to go to the cross. We know the story. And we know the time when he was in the upper room. And he says, I'm going to wash your feet. And you're like, wash your feet? What are you talking about? Well, guys, that's what we're going to talk about tonight. The simplicity of what it means to be a disciple and to follow Jesus. The simplicity of running the race that God has set before us. And we're going to look at it through the eyes of Jesus, okay? As Jesus was going through all these things in his mind, getting ready to approach the cross, he sees the men that he invested into. And do you think maybe he's possibly thinking, how can I really simplify the idea of running this race? Well, you guys, what do I mean, run the race? Well, it says in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Talking about enduring the cross, he says, because Jesus endured the cross, it was set before him. He saw the race. He saw that was set before him. And he said, I will willingly go to the cross for who? For me? For you guys? And at that time, how can I show them what it means to run the race? What can I do? Have you guys ever noticed that there's always seems to be a beginning and end in the Bible? There always seems to be something in motion. What does it say in Genesis 1:1? In the beginning. All right, I was gonna tell if you guys didn't get that because I know you're going through Genesis, so good thing you guys got that. In the beginning, Jesus said on the cross, what did he say at the very end, right before he gave up his spirit? What did he say? Who said it? Ooh, Phil, represent, nice. All right, what else did he say, guys? He said also here in John 13:1, says he came to the end and he loved. He came to the end Because see, there's a time when Jesus began his ministry. There was a time when he ended his ministry. What else does it say about us, guys? It says that God created us. He called us to salvation. We know that Jesus came. We know that he's coming back. And we know that he's going to call us to go with him, isn't he? We know that we're going to go up in the sky with him. We know that he's going to come back to this earth and claim ownership. And we know that we're going to be with him. And you know what also he says? He says there's an end to this world, but there's eternity with Jesus Christ. And that's one thing that there is no end to, guys. We will always be with the Lord in heaven. It's a kind of a simple question, but will you be there with him? In this race that we run, what will you look like approaching your Savior? Well, aren't we all perfect in the sight of Jesus? For those who have accepted him, aren't we made whole? He'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Yeah. What does our walk look like here on this earth? Guys, picture this. What if I was a runner, okay? I was like a marathon runner, or better yet, I was a sprinter, okay? And I was in my little place, and I had my starting blocks. Turn this thing off. Okay, your brother's a runner?
Yeah.
Okay, so you start in your starting blocks, okay? And I'm down here, ready to go. I mean, you're expecting some intensity coming out of the block, right? You ever seen horses getting ready to race? I mean, the doors fly open and they're just moving. What would happen if a racer was there and then all of a sudden the gun goes off and he just starts, you know, crawling. He's really scared, you know. I mean, that would be ridiculous. Or what? Is this thing? There we go. What about someone who's on one of those balancing beams, okay? And they're approaching the balance. Is this thing? Is it on? Bam, there we go. Couple disrupt. All right. I'm always afraid this thing's going to fall off. Okay. Bear with me here. Okay. Okay. The balancing beam, okay? So the lady or the girl or the guy approaches the balancing beam, okay? He gets on there. She gets on there. You're expecting to do some cool flip, you know, do some crazy stuff. What if she gets up there and she's just like hugging the thing, you know? I mean, that would be ridiculous. But we know, guys, in light of Jesus, he says, run the race with endurance. Persevere when times are tough. What do we look like to Jesus? Are we a joke? Are you a joke? Am I a joke? Is God looking at our walk, looking at our race and saying, you're going to represent me like that? Now, I'm not here to put like a condemnation trip on you or to say, man, Courtney really beat us up tonight. I just want us to reevaluate our lives and say, what does my walk look like? What does my race look like? You guys want to turn with me to John chapter 13. This is where the story begins. Jesus says in John 13, it says, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come. First off, guys, the Passover. Do you guys have any idea what the Passover is? Any takers? Anybody know? I know you know. You come back from Israel. Sunday, not quite. Okay, we have a couple people. No, let me fill you in. Do you guys remember when Israel, they were in bondage to Egypt, right? And then Moses came and he was their deliverer, okay? He was the one that was going to set them free. And Moses came with a staff in his hand and his friend, maybe brother-in-law Aaron with him. So, am I the right people here?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Came with him. And they had 9 plagues, right? I mean, everything from like bugs to blood in the river, a bunch of nasty stuff, hailstones, frogs. Then the 10th one, what happened?
First born child died.
Exactly. And what did God tell the Israelites to do? He said, yeah, in the back. Yeah. Exactly. Perfect. So God tells them, take this animal into your home, then kill it, put the blood on the doorpost, and then the angel is going to swoop through the nation of Egypt. It will pass by, and your firstborn won't die. And that was the Passover because God saved them. And you know what? In the same way, as we look here, he says it was the time of the Passover. Can you imagine the thought? We know the Passover was about a person, a lamb being brought into their home. They fed it, they nurtured it, then they killed it. And do you think possibly that Jesus, he came into these people's homes. He walked with the disciples for 3 years. He knew people. He healed people. He was amongst them. For what reason? For what reason, guys? To die on the cross for us. To be the very lamb that would save our lives. And do you think that in that time, they're in the upper room, that there was a bit of emotion going on? I don't think it was like the meals that they had earlier when they're just learning and Jesus is like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I picked Peter. What a joke. You know, Peter's always putting his foot in his mouth and they're cracking up. You know, I don't know what they did in the Sea of Galilee, but I imagine they had some pretty good times. But here was different. The mood was totally different. And it reminds me to another section in Exodus, because let's look a year later, or approximately, maybe not quite a year. Let's look a little bit later, after Egypt. Okay, they're in the wilderness. And they get everything ready to have their temple, all the different articles that have to be in the temple and all that. And it says, he said, get Aaron. Don't just get Aaron, get Aaron's brothers. And it says this about him. He says, then you shall bring Aaron and his sons at the door of the tabernacle of meeting and wash them with water. So the feast of the Passover, they're getting ready to have it. He says, we need people to minister though. We need those to minister not only to me, but to minister to the people. And he goes on to say, he says, you shall put the holy garments on Aaron and anoint him with consecrate him, set him apart, that he may minister to me as a priest. And you shall bring his sons and clothe them with tunics. You shall anoint them as you anointed their father, and they may minister to me as priests, for their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generation. You see, guys, in the same way that we see Jesus bending down, getting on his knees, taking a cloth and ministering to the disciples, in the same way before these men were going to minister and consecrate themselves to be priests, they were washed, they were cleansed with water. And Jesus here, he reaches down and he cleans their feet. Obviously, they were already cleansed because they believed, but he prepared them in a different way, not through consecration of water, but he prepared them by saying, hey, what does it look like to be a minister for me? It means that you would stoop down. Now, guys, let's think about this. Now, all right, what we have here, I hope this thing doesn't make any noise. We have a basin of water. Obviously, we don't wash people's feet. But anymore, I mean, we usually take showers. Who took a shower today? No, what I want to know is who didn't take a shower today? Oh, Sean, disgusting. Who has the nastiest feet in here? You? Who? Who has the nastiest feet? Infected toe? Okay, get up here. Okay. Okay, take your shoes off. Okay. Sit down right here. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, take your shoes off. Okay, guys. Now let's think about this. It's okay, take them off. Sit down right here. Okay? Okay, while he's getting his shoes off. Okay, let's think about this, guys. Jesus says, I want to show you what it means to run a race. I want to show you what it means to minister to me and to minister to my people. And he says, I'm going to bend down. I'm going to grab a cloth. And I'm going to wash your feet. Now, that doesn't necessarily make sense in today's culture. But back then, think about it. What did they wear? They didn't have like Nikes on and shoes. They wore sandals. And it was dusty and nasty. How is it, Adam? It's gross. Is it pretty gross? And so can you imagine? I mean, they're walking. Their feet are sweating. Then they got dirt coming in them. It's just getting all nasty and grimy. And Jesus, I mean, who do we know Jesus to be? Savior. We know him. Who did he proclaim to be? Savior. Who else? God. God. It says in John chapter 1 that he came and he dwelt among us. And it says that he put on flesh and became like us, guys. So in light of representing, guys, in light of representing Jesus, would we find ourselves taking a rag and washing someone's feet, serving them? Before we get into that, guys, you just hang tight right there, okay? Okay. What about, let's read on a little bit further, and then we'll get into to Alex here and these nasty feet, okay? Okay, it says here, and supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given him all things into the hands of that he had come and done all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. Guys, how easy is it to sit down and wash someone's feet? How easy is it to serve someone in light of betrayal? How easy would it be to take your enemy and say, you know what? I'm going to do the grossest thing possible, and I'm going to serve you. I'm going to wash your feet. Think of the person. Do you guys have someone that you just know that doesn't like you? Do you guys have those people in your lives? What if Jesus asked you to go up to him and say, hey, bro, my name's so-and-so. I know you probably know me, and you might make fun of me a lot, but I want you to know that, I'm here. I want to be your friend. I'm cool with all that. What would you do if Jesus asked you to do that? What if you knew someone that always made fun of you, but what if you knew that they were in need? Maybe they didn't have lunch money that day. Or maybe you knew that they made fun of you and they tended to pick on you a lot, but it was just because they themselves were picked on at home. They themselves didn't have a good family life. And they kind of came out in the way they treated you. What if God said, I want you to love that person? Because what does it say here? It says that in verse 1, it says he loved them to what? Verse 1, guys, he loved them to the end. So what would you do, guys, in light of betrayal? Would you do this? Who says they do this on a daily basis? Okay, I mean, not this. Who would say that they serve people on a daily basis? Who serves those that make fun of you? Who serves those that would stab you in the back? Who loves those that would make fun of you? Can you be honest with yourselves? Because I know in this generation, in my generation, in this age group, we do a very good job of making fun of people. I work in the skate park. What else do I need to say? I see people making fun of one another, taking the littlest thing and blowing it out of proportion and just railing on that person. And I don't know one time that I've seen any Christian come up and say, hey guys, why do you continually pick on that person? Not one time. When was the last time that you saw someone getting picked on? I was in high school. I was in junior high. I know what it's like to get picked on. When was the last time you stepped up and said, what are you doing? And then you like socked the guy. Just kidding. Just kidding. Jesus didn't say that. I'm just kidding. When was the last time you stood up for someone? When was the last time you sat at the lunch table with a person who doesn't have any friends? Awesome. Awesome. Guys, I would like to say that's what it looks like to wash someone's feet. Okay? That's what it looks like in light of betrayal. Ooh, here's one that really might, it did for me. This might really kind of hit you point blank. What happens when you feel like you've been betrayed at home? Have you guys ever been betrayed at home? Who here, you guys don't need to raise your hands, who here has parents that are divorced? Probably, oh gosh, I raised my hand in that one too. Do you guys feel like you're home? I mean, it's a home. I mean, when I think of what the Bible talks about home, it says in one instance in Joshua, he says, Joshua, a dad says, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I mean, if I had a dad like that, it would be easy to serve. It would be easy to have a good attitude. But what happens when we have parents who fight, who bicker? And sometimes we feel like it's our fault. They argue. Do you guys feel betrayed? Do you feel like your worlds are being ripped apart? Do you ever feel hurt over those things? Betrayal. In light of that, what do you do? Do you still love? Do you still serve? Are you still obedient to your parents? Because this is the simplicity of what the gospel has done in our lives. It's changed us. It says in one part of the Bible, in Matthew, it says, yeah, the prophet, he'll receive a reward, obviously, or the righteous man will receive a reward. But what about the person who takes a glass of water and extends a hand to someone? It says they too will receive a reward, no less than that of the righteous man or the prophet. And Jesus also says, let the children come to me. Simple things, bring them to me. Bring people to me. And so guys, in light of this, trust me, this is kind of gross. Okay? Drop your feet in there. Holy cow. Okay, this thing is really infected. I'm not even joking. Okay? Okay? This is really infected. Okay, guys? But what would you do? Would you really take someone's foot? Would you really take someone's foot that is swollen, pussing? Oh, gosh. Would you really do that? Does it kind of tickle? No. Would you get in between the toes? Get the toe jam. Would you get the toe jam? Oh, disgusting. All right, bring the other one over here. Okay. And guys, it says that Jesus grabbed a towel. It says that Jesus knelt down. It says that Jesus went to Peter first and walked around. And he took the towel and he washed each one's foot. Are you guys willing to do that? Are you guys willing to take it that far? Are you willing to minister to people that are in need? It's not when you say, hey, go, be warm because I know you don't have a jacket. Hey, go, get some food and don't give them anything. Do you serve people that way? Because that's what the gospel is. If you call yourself a Christian, don't think that you can come to Velocity and think that that's all it takes. Because it's not the case, guys. It's a matter of stooping down and serving people. Is that humbling for Jesus to take a towel? Yeah, go for it, bud. Is it humbling for Jesus? Is it humbling for Jesus to take a towel and to wash grown men's feet? He says at the end, he says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Because guys, I share with you a truth. It does nothing if it doesn't exit out of these doors. Do you follow me? It does nothing if everything Kevin has said, if everything that you've heard tonight, if it doesn't change your life, if you're not willing to humble yourself and say, I'm going to stand up for that person, even though my parents have betrayed me because the commitment they vowed to keep, they've separated and they're not together, and I live in a house instead of it being a place of a refuge, a place of love, it seems to be a place of bickering and anger. how are you going to act? How are you going to act when you're wronged? Because that's what it means to be a disciple. Also, guys, perseverance. Do we persevere? Let's read on. It says, and he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? One more instance where Peter puts his foot in his mouth. Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. We've all said, Jesus is my Lord. We've said that I will run this race. As I see it through the eyes of Jesus, as he is the example of running a race, of coming to the end of his ministry, he says, I ran strong and I loved to the very end. In light of these things, in light of betrayal, what will you do? Will you continue? It's hard to continue when you feel like God's not even there because of the situations in your life. It's hard to continue when your world's being turned upside down. But one thing has to happen. Peter had to accept the servant hand of Jesus. He had to accept it. In the same way, guys, you have to accept the service that God did for us. What was that service? It was that of dying on the cross. It was God's grace. You have to accept it. How do you expect to be ministers of God's grace if you yourself don't accept God's grace? Who here has screwed up in the last week? I better be seeing more hands than that. I better be seeing two hands and some feet. All right? We've all screwed up. Who here has screwed up so bad that they don't quite want to accept forgiveness because they feel so bad about it? Who here says, how could I have done that? Let me give you an example really quick. I was 17 years old going to church camp. I probably told you this story. It was probably my testimony. And I was a leader, and then I was a camper. And I came back after those 2 weeks thinking I was pretty righteous, you know? And me and my friends, for whatever reason, I lived in a small town. And we decided we're bored out of our minds. So let's go break into some buildings. Why not? Made complete sense, especially after just coming back from church camp. So we broke into a few buildings. I don't make light of this, but the first one was just like, could we do it? And we did. And we took stuff. Four more stops later, I ran into the cops. And I then ran into some jail cells. I came back that night thinking, how could God love me? How could I be a Christian? How could I go on from here as a Christian? But you know what? It was the simplicity of the gospel that transformed my life. He said, I forgive you. I still love you. I want you. I want you to be part of me. I want you to be part of my life. I want to continue to get down on my knees and to serve you and to love you. And Courtney, I want you to be a minister of the very thing that I have done to you. I've forgiven you. I've showed you grace. I've showed you love. Would you do that? Have you ever felt like you screwed up so much that you're not worthy of the forgiveness? Don't be like Peter and say, whoa, God. I mean, Lord, meaning master, yeah, but you're not washing my feet. Hey, I'm going to be so prideful as to say, if you're going to wash my feet, wash my whole body. I mean, who would say that to Jesus? Jesus is reaching down to wash his feet, and he says, whoa, if you're going to wash my feet, why don't you wash my whole body? That's kind of arrogant. She said, you don't need to wash your body. It's already been clean. And that wasn't the purpose of what he was doing. So let's read on, guys. He goes on, says, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, you are not all clean. Speaking about Judas Iscariot, the one who just betrayed him. Yeah, he washed his feet. The one that would come to him and say, Jesus, and give him a kiss on the cheek. To point out Jesus of Nazareth, the Messiah, the God of this universe. He betrayed him, but yet he still knelt down, washed his feet. He was wronged, but he served him. It goes on. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? Guys, this is the clincher, okay? Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. I want to end with this, guys. Olympic gold medalist. Have you guys ever read about some of the things that they do concerning perseverance, concerning hardships and the how hard it is to actually be qualified to be an Olympian? It says this of a couple of people. It says they work out 4 hours a day, 310 days a year for 6 years before they even succeed normally in getting a gold medal. It says this about an Olympic diver who practices his dives 3,000 times over 4 years before winning a gold medal. It says this about a gymnast who practices his or her flips in a routine 200,000 times before, 20,000 times. 20,000 times before he or she would win an Olympic gold medal. It says this about a swimmer that swims 240,000 laps before winning the Olympics. And a swimmer normally will usually swim 10 miles a day, 5 miles per hour, and their heart rate would be that of about 160. 160 would be their heart rate. You say, well, is that intense? Well, do you want to know what it takes to get your heart rate to be 160? Run up one flight of stairs, and your heart rate is at 160. Can you imagine doing that for 10 miles? That would be intense, okay? That would be intense, guys. And I think that is the intensity of what God is telling us to do here, to run the race that is set before you. That's the intensity of it. Are you following me? Do you guys follow me? Okay. He says here, most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. Guys, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Can I challenge you guys? Who here has a tendency to live a lukewarm life? Who here would say, kind of like the church of Ephesus, I believe it was in Revelation, who said, man, you have some pretty good works. You look really nice. You look really pretty, really squared away. But you know what? It seems that you left your first love. And you know what he says concerning to you people that have, you look really pretty on the outside. Everybody would think, wow, she or he is a great Christian. But on the inside, you're rotting inside, kind of like Alex's foot. He says, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. He says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works. Guys, in light of running the race, go back to what you know. You say, I don't know where to go. Go back to when you first said, Lord, I am yours. Go back to that place when you had that ambition, you had that fire, you had that zeal. Go back to that place and go back to the simplicity. Go back to what God has reduced down to the simplest of things, to giving a cold cup of water, to sitting with the person who gets made fun of at the lunch table, to stepping in when someone gets made fun of and saying, hey, you don't have to listen to that. You know, come with me. Let's go chat. You know, let's go hang out, whatever. Let me go get you a Coke or something. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to jeopardize your popularity for the sake of someone else? If you're willing to do that, I think that is the most practical way that we could live as a Christian. If you can find yourself doing that, it'll be really easy to do anything else, because I would submit to you that it's very hard to do. So there it is, guys. Through the eyes of Jesus, what it means to run a race. He came to the end of his life. He was getting ready to approach the cross, and he said, he thought in his mind, what can I do? What can I do to serve these people and to show them what it means to be a Christian, what it means to follow me? So, guys, let's get down on our knees. Let's grab some feet and let's wash some feet, okay? You agree with me with that? We gonna try it out? Okay? Not literally, okay? Not literally. Let's go to the lunch table. Let's go to the person that's made fun of, okay? Let's do it, all right? All right, let's pray, guys. Father, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you that it doesn't return void. Lord, I ask that you would minister to us, Lord, that these truths that your word speaks about would go in deep, Lord, that it would transform us, that it wouldn't be just knowledge, but it would actually be put into effect, and it would change the world, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you guys need anybody to talk to, if you want me to pray with you, I'm here. I'd love to chat with you.